Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. I'm your host, Warren Markwitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markwitz Show, live on Spreaker.com, carried on podcasts at Red State Talk Radio, Podomatic, Blog Talk, and, of course, iTunes. Check us out. We are all over the web, and we are welcoming you to our show. Thank you very much for taking the time to join me and to explore some of the things that have been unfolding in the last few days in our society, in our country, and in our world. And, of course, we are here to talk about things that go boom, or things that may not go boom, or quite possibly the refugee crisis, the society itself, the ideas, the concepts, the freedoms that we explore and enjoy. These are all the things that are not only part of our solution, but part of our problem. And if we don't recognize that as a free society, we are required to be diligent, eventually we won't be a free society. Listen, before we get lost in the conversation, before we get lost in the ideas and the concepts, let us remind ourselves that we can be found at twitter.com/radiomarkowitz, at facebook.com, at blogtalkradio, spreaker.com, and at Podomatic. Don't forget, if you're subscribed to the the iTunes stream, you'll be able to find us there as well. So if you don't catch us live, you can always catch us on the podcast. I am Warren Markwitz. I am your host, and I will be right back after this brief little break so we get ourselves started and get the conversation going. Sit tight, hang on, and enjoy the ride. Be right back.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
On Spreaker, Podomatic, and Red State Radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's MARKOWITZLAWFIRM.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire. A modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back. Okay. If you... Well, let's... You know what? I was about to say, if you've been living under a rock for the last few days, you've missed some very interesting criminal activity in the United States. And we're not talking about the normal junk. You know, like a bank robbery or something stupid like, you know, I don't know, a high-profile kidnapping or, you know, sex trafficking or narcotics trafficking or, you know, even the typical BS that you get when you're dealing with states' rights issues versus the government. We're talking about, you know, two very massive screw-ups. And the first one I want to talk about is Wells Fargo. You know, one of the big old banks, kind of got hands everywhere. and they got caught with their hands in the proverbial cookie jar. You see, banking isn't what it used to be. It's not that relationship issue anymore. It's now all regulatory matters and paperwork to fill out and IDs to be given and all the fun little junk that requires you to basically lift the skirt, open your kimono, you know, show your tatas, whatever it is that may be that you want to identify with the fact that you have to disclose yourself and everything you've ever done, who you've ever done, where you've ever done it, and how often you've ever done it before they'll take your money and actually give you access to the banking networks, the backbone, the real way of moving money around. You see, what we've gotten to the point is because it is now a commodity, okay? Banking is a commodity. It's a service. There's little difference between the banking services you get from Chase or Wells Fargo or Zions or Nevada State Bank or any of the thousands of different banking institutions out there. There's no difference in what you can get from each one. They've been squished, squashed, pushed, and basically they're silly putty. Just change the container. Or Play-Doh, just change the color. You know, you get the same consistency out of red Play-Doh as you do out of purple Play-Doh, a blue Play-Doh. It doesn't make a difference where you go. So what do? They have to find ways of making more money, getting more resources, taking more things from you or I or just in general, finding a way to increase their payroll. So what they do, they created, well, my understanding is like 2 million false accounts. Their platform people, their bankers, borrowed your information or my information or your account information if you had an account there, and they opened up fraudulent accounts. This is how they work, folks. They open up the accounts for the basis of actually putting money in their own pocket because that's how they're paid. They're paid a bounty. They're paid a bounty, and what we wind up with is the very institutions that we have told were being regulated, we're told were being overseen, that are being designed to protect us from illegal activity so that the wrong people don't wind up with our money or the wrong people don't use the banks to move money they shouldn't be moving. Well, it turns out those are the guys in charge. Those are the guys that created the playing field that's so tilted to one side, where they're making more money from fees and expenses that they charge us than from the banking business they're doing, the lending that they're doing, the investments that they're doing. They make more money from fees and costs and hard dollars. We don't need, if you'll pardon me for saying so, we don't need negative interest rates in this country. We already have people stealing from our accounts and making our investments and our monies and our savings worth less. You know, you're probably better off, and this is just a general thought off the cuff, you're probably better off just simply spending your money than saving your money. Risking it in an investment that may or may not come out is probably just as effective as putting it in a bank in a savings account. Either one, you're not going to get any return on your money, and it's probably going to cost you in the end anyway. So you got a better upside by investing it in something that's fly-by-night or, well, risky. You see, what many of you may remember or may not know if you haven't heard is I've spent 25 years in the banking business. Everything from armored cars to brokerage to internal controls to, lecturing on anti-money laundering issues. And I'll tell you something. From a banking point of view, if you knew what I knew about banking, you'd probably keep your money in a mattress. It's about as safe there as it is anywhere else. Whether you choose to use gold or silver or whatnot, I don't have any sponsors that push that stuff, or whether you put it in cryptocurrencies. It doesn't make a difference. Money is money, and where you stash it is up to you, but the point happens to be sometimes the bank is not necessarily the safest place. You know, I was having a conversation with my daughter the other day, and she said, well, that's, you know, the banks were part of the problem. I said, in the Great Depression, I said, yeah, and that's the reason why the FDIC came about. But still, if you're lucky enough to accumulate any sort of wealth, the FDIC isn't going to cover you if you're owing cash. It maxes out at $250 per account, even though you can probably structure it in various ways and have multiple accounts. The bottom line still happens to be banks are not as, quote, safe as you think. Well, let me ask you this. Let's assume for a second that Wells Fargo pays this massive fine for basically stealing your identity. What happens then? Well, my guess is that not a damn thing's going to happen. They're going to pay the fine, they're going to chalk it up as a cost of doing business, and they are going to go about doing something else. But overall, nothing's going to happen. The feds aren't going to push them down. They may ask them to fill out another piece of paper that says that they identify that this is the owner of the account and this is the controller of the account, and one thing will lead to another and nothing will ever happen. Because overall, nothing really does happen. Because even the guys in charge aren't even sure of what's going on. You know, I heard this morning that it was a big deal, an absolute big deal, that Obama give $400 million in cash to Iran. You remember that little ransom payment that wasn't a ransom payment? Well, it turns out they moved some other money via wires, international wires. But we were told they couldn't move the money because there was no wire system in place. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. If there is no way to move money through a wire system to places like Iran or North Korea or Myanmar or whatnot, then why is there a sanctions list? Why are there restrictions lists? Why are they on those lists? And why is it you have to monitor for activity to those places? Yes, let me say that again. Banks are required to monitor for compliance with the OFAC sanctioned parties list. That's OFAC. It's the Office of Foreign Asset Control. They have to monitor for it because you can wire money to Iran and North Korea and Burma. And there are exceptions to those limitations. Family money, medical reasons, investment, so on and so forth. You see, folks, you don't have to have a direct banking relationship between one bank in the United States and one bank in a place that you really shouldn't be. They're called correspondent relationships. Think of banking as 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Remember that game? You can connect anybody with anybody else in Hollywood within 6 people if you connect them through Kevin Bacon. Right? It's a game. It's a concept of 6 degrees of separation. I still like the idea of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I think the guy's cool. But that's how it works. So basically what would happen is, this is not, by the way, the absolute way it happens, but a SWIFT message is sent from Bank A to Bank B. It says you're going to receive $10 million. Now, a SWIFT message is nothing more than a message. I don't care what kind of BS somebody wants to show you or what type of MT code they want to provide you, whether it's a 760, a 799, a 103, it doesn't make a difference. A message is a message. All it does is tell you something in a certain format. Okay. Didn't want to turn this into a banking exercise, but after learning that we've been snowed once more, got to share it with you. Then what happens is this. My $10 million I got in this bank that I want to get to Iran, for argument's sake, I can't send it to Iran directly. Technically, I can. It'll set off a whole bunch of bells and whistles. There'll be a whole bunch of reports. It might even get stuck in the OFAC filter and not be allowed to be transferred out. But assuming it gets past the filter program, assuming it gets past the individual who is monitoring for these things, this is how it would work. If my bank had a relationship with a bank directly in Iran, it would go from point A to point B. In effect, what would happen is they debit my account here for $10 million. They'd increase my corresponding account with that bank in Iran for $10 million. And a bank on the other side in Iran would then deduct $10 million from my account on their end. And it would be an accounting issue. Quite literally, it would be nothing more than you take it out of column A and you place it in column B. Kind of like a Chinese restaurant. Okay, let's say it doesn't happen that way. Let's say I don't have the direct relationship. I have to go through correspondent banks. Correspondent banks are ways I conduct business in parts of the world where I don't have a physical presence. I correspond through them. That's the whole point. So what would happen would be real simple. I might have a relationship with a bank in Singapore. That Singapore bank might have a relationship with a bank in Iraq. That bank in Iraq might have a relationship with a bank in Iran. So basically, my money would take a long walk and hop its way from New York to Singapore, from Singapore to Iraq, from Iraq to Iran. Congratulations. We just did a wire transfer to a sanctioned country through a process known as correspondent banking that, by the way, we have to monitor for, we have to report, we have to identify, and we have to scrub it through the Office of Foreign Asset Control for sanctioned parties and countries. But the President of the United States turns around and tells the rest of the world that he can't move $400 million when you can move $100 million or $1 billion in the blink of an eye through the wire transfers networks if you just know what buttons to push. So were we lied to? I don't know. Were we misled? I'll take that one as a yes, Bob, and I'll take the rest on a gift certificate. Or do they just simply think we're a bunch of freaking morons and that you can't find solutions to problems when they're staring you in the face? See, I love this part of business, by the way. I got to tell you something. I love the idea of a banker or a clerk in a bank, because there are very few bankers left. Everybody is a vice president and nobody can do a damn thing, telling me how much of the regulatory issues I have to resolve because they know that I have to do all these little things in order for them to do their job. And I realize they haven't got a clue what they're accomplishing. They don't know it. I've had it happen. You've had it happen. It's a whole bunch of BS. But in the end, it becomes nothing more than a freaking headache. Listen, when I get back after this little bitty break, we are going to talk about the explosive events in New York City and the stabbings in Minneapolis. That's right. We're going back to talk about the refugee issue and why Islam does not seem to work very well with the United States. By the way, that doesn't mean there aren't good people here, but it does mean we've been ignoring the problems. Sit tight. Hang on. I'll be right back. I'm Warren Markowitz. You're listening to Politically Incorrect on Blog Talk. Spreaker.com. Catch you right back in a second.
The Warren Markowitz Show on Red State Radio, Spreaker, and Podomatic.
This is Terry O'Brien, host of The Terry O'Brien Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the mainstream media has completely failed the American people. Join me and the other great hosts on Red State Talk Radio. We will not fail you. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in conservative internet talk radio. RedStateTalkRadio.com. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
And I am talking about it again. Welcome back. And I am Warren Markowitz, your host on The Warren Markowitz Show. And this is Politically Incorrect. Why are we politically incorrect? Well, simply because we refuse to listen to and banter about and all the feel-good words and ideas and concepts that, you know, make everybody feel good about themselves, but doesn't address the damn problem. Okay, let's talk about the stabbings that occurred in Minneapolis. For the record, Minneapolis happens to be the home of several thousand Somali refugees. I am sure there are several thousand Somali refugees that are making a nice home for themselves, or at least trying to work in the community or be a part of it. I am not painting the people with a broad brush that says they don't belong there. I am not going to make that choice. I simply want to be, just like you are and most others, concerned or safe with the idea that these people that we're bringing in are not going to be a threat to us, hence the problem we're facing now. A lot of these people that we brought in as refugees, they weren't a problem. Does that mean we stop? No. Does that mean we ignore our relationships and responsibilities? No. What it means is we need to keep monitoring the events that transpire around their communities. Because the guy who decided, who came here at 7 years old and somehow wound up getting himself radicalized 15 years later and wandering through a mall stabbing people and meeting a lead slug head on and going home in a body bag because he was not behaving himself, somehow, somewhere along the lines, we have to recognize that there are issues in the communities and matters that are not compatible with civilized society. Let me explain this again. In my opinion, Islam in general is not a compatible political or social mechanism. I am not addressing it as a religious mechanism. Religion was a tool that Muhammad used in order to expand and to identify his authority over people. Now, yes, there's 1.5 billion people in this world who follow Islam. And I'm pretty sure that 90% of them are good people. They raise their families, they go to work, they do their bidding, they take care of their community, they work with their neighbors and so on and so forth. But that still leaves 150 million people that are pretty much a threat to the rest of the freaking world. Even if you cut that in half, that's 75 million people. Actually, you know what? The easiest way to understand this is 150 million people is about the entire population of Russia. It is roughly one half the population of the United States. It is two or three good-sized countries in Europe. Do you understand this? Can you see the numbers? So the issue, or the, it was pretty interesting, Donald Trump Jr., I believe it was, used the example that here's a bowl of Skittles, three of them will kill you. You could dig your hand into the Skittles bowl and try and figure it out. The answer is no. You're not going to put yourself in a position in which you're going to risk your life for the potential of enjoying a Skittle. But that's not the entire problem we're faced with. You see, the problems we face with both the bomber in New York City and the Lunatron in Minneapolis, who was busy stabbing people in a mall, is that they decided that for some odd reason, the freedoms that they were enjoying and the safety and the home life that they were enjoying, well, they just weren't compatible with their belief system. See, this is where cult behavior unfolds. And this is, think of this one for a second. This isn't an insult. This is a factual issue. Because we have cults all over the world. They're not your mainstream religions. No, you got Christian cults, Catholic cults, you got Jewish cults, you got, you've got cult. Every time there is a religious structure in place, you have people that take it to fanatical levels. Now, does that make the bulk of the people evil? No. But Islam poses an interesting little problem. We keep talking about radical Islam. Well, there's no radical anything in this case. The reason for it, there has never been a reformation in society. in the Islamic society. They've got the Sunnis and the Shias who've been killing each other for probably 1,000 years at this point. They're arguing about who's in charge, the grandson, the nephew, whatnot. They both look at the idea of the Quran being, that's it, the end-all, be-all, and whatever it says in a book goes, including the fact that the sun revolves around the moon, the earth, the moon is the same size as the sun, the earth is probably flat, and you can lie, cheat, steal, and kill anybody who's not a Muslim. Now, Western society in general went through a substantial reformation, which is what's missing from Eastern thought and Eastern societies. Middle Eastern. Because my last check that the Shinto went through a major reformation when somebody lit up Japan in 1945. That somebody shall remain nameless. Thank you, Mr. Truman. And the Chinese variations, or the Buddhist or Hindus or whatnot, they don't tend to be violence-oriented. We're not here to poke fingers at individuals. We're here to talk about the simple fact that two people, out of many, decided that their view of society didn't work out with the rest of us. So it was smart for them and appropriate for them to go out and decide to kill everybody around them. Yeah. That's the answer to their problem. Their answer to the problem is not to speak out. Their answer to the problem is not to voice their opinions. Their answer to their problem is not to try and educate others to their position. The answer to that problem happens to be, well, if they don't agree with me, I go get to kill them. That's not a civilized approach. Now, there's, 8 or 9 people who were injured in Minneapolis. And those people were lucky enough to have an off-duty, part-time officer who went to buy, if I remember correctly, a cell phone, who wound up himself getting stabbed before he shot and killed the assailant. Well, guess what? Okay, guess what? If other people were armed in there, he may not have gotten to 8 or 9 people. He may have gotten to 2 or 3. He may have gotten all the way up to 7. He may have even gotten to the 8th person. But at least somebody would have given him a second thought about what he was doing. Now, I'm not going to say that the people in Minneapolis are not well protected. The officers are not available. The society is falling apart because people don't carry guns. I'm not going to say any of that. Self-responsibility. The ability to deal with one's own problems. The ability to deal with the issues at hand. There was a cop there. Could have been a civilian. It didn't have to be a cop. The point was, a good guy with a gun took down a bad guy with a knife. And guess what? No one's losing sleep over the whole matter. Except for the fact that we have to recognize that the problems in these communities are real. The problems in the Muslim communities about radicalization is real. It is one thing to decide to behave in a certain fashion. It's another thing to decide that those who don't behave in that fashion are a threat to you. Because the last time I checked, freedom of religion was available in the United States. It meant that we can advance our religious beliefs without governmental interference. But that doesn't mean if murdering my neighbor is part of it, or beating my wife, or beating my husband, or locking my children up or mistreating animals as part of my religious belief, I'm going to get a pass. Doesn't work that way. But that's what these people think. Let's go to the bomber over New Jersey, New York City. 3 bombs. Train was a train station, 2 dumpsters, one of them went off. The other one went off. The train station one went off after they were trying to disarm it or examine it. These were acts, both acts, the Mall Act and the Bomber Act, these were acts of domestic terrorism. But these weren't acts of domestic terrorism because somebody didn't like the guy in the White House, or they didn't like the guy running for the White House, or they didn't like the woman running for the White House, or they didn't like the idea that they had to pay more money for a parking meter. This was designed to inflict the most amount of horror in places where people gather. This guy, the guy in New York City, lashed out against the gay community. Listen, if you don't want to be a part of the community, don't be a part of the community. If you don't approve of somebody's lifestyle, you're not required to. Do you hear me? You're not required to approve anybody's lifestyle. And just for that matter, they're not required to approve of yours. So if you're crazy enough to decide to dress in a white sheet, go outside with a bunch of your friends and put up a cross and light it on fire, I can still call you the absolute lunatic and probably asshole that I think you are. But I don't have to do anything else other than that. And I don't even have to do that. It is a situation in which people have started to ignore the simple fact in this country that we are allowed to be as arrogant and as ignorant and as foolish and as stupid and as misguided as we want to be, and it's our right. That's right. If we don't want to be a part of a civilized society where that respects the individual and the choices thereof, we don't have to be. On the other hand, we don't have to approve of people's choices. We don't have to approve, well, as a parent, I must approve of the people who date my daughters. I must approve of the girls that my son dates. I must approve of the people they associate themselves with, and I must approve of the schools they go to. Until they pick themselves up and leave my house, their approval from me is required. But as adults, as autonomous little units, when they become so and they take the responsibilities on their own, I don't have to worry about approving it, but I can voice my opinion for it. I don't have to approve of it. I just have to respect it. See, that's the issue we're missing. And that's the issue in political discourse in this country that we are missing. We are missing the simple fact that people choose to say that if I don't approve of your position, it's wrong. See, there was a video circulating just the other day on the internet about a guy in Canada wearing a Make America Great Again hat from Donald Trump. And a girl was screaming at him to take the hat off because it was hate speech. Because Make America Great Again, in her opinion, included cutting off immigrants, ignoring, being Islamophobic, being xenophobic, being homophobic, blah, 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 whatever fit her narrative. And then somebody comes along and steals the guy's hat off of his head. Somebody should tell that other person, that's an assault. You know, an unlawful touching, an unapproved touching. Okay, that's an assault. Just like blowing smoke in somebody's face is an assault. Or a battery, if you want to deal with the civil side of the fence. The bottom line is, folks, these bombers, these people that are choosing to ignore or respect our individual choices are now deciding to use violence. But not just good old-fashioned, you know, I'm going to beat you up on a corner kind of violence. We're talking about bombs. This kid, 2 years ago, 28 years old, his father called the FBI on him 2 years ago, told the FBI that he thinks his kid's a terrorist. Why do you think they found him so fast? He was on a watch list. He was on a, you know, The matter happens to be fairly simple. Some people are not cut out for America, and America is not cut out for them. And if you can't grasp that simple idea, then you don't grasp the concepts and the freedoms that we're built around. Again, we don't have to. We're not required to. There's nothing in the rules or laws that says I have to approve of anything you do. I've got this little bubble. Remember kindergarten? So maybe that's it. Maybe we have to go back to the simplicity of kindergarten and start reading the signs that everything I ever knew I learned in kindergarten or everything I ever knew I learned from Star Trek. You know, share your toys. Don't beat up your friends. You know, share your... These things, the simple, civilized way of being. See, that's what people are so afraid of. Because we want to be that. We want to be the civilized people. We want to be the responsible people. See, that's where the immigration issue, that's where the matter involving providing aid to the Syrian refugees, to providing aid to Somalia when the people were starving, or Ethiopia when the people were starving, or medical aid and food aid to the Syrian civilian population that's caught in this useless fight between various anti-government forces and government forces. We want to be better. America wants to be better. You and I want to be better. We want to strive to be the better person, the one that can or should at least attempt to help others. Not because it's the right thing to do, because it makes us feel good. Or maybe it's the right thing to do. But it makes us feel good. But what we're ignoring, what we're choosing to ignore, is that sometimes people don't deserve our help. They don't deserve our help because they don't appreciate where it's coming from. They don't deserve our help because they return it with disdain. You see, if these people are truly refugees, then they're not necessarily meant to be resettled anywhere. They're meant to be returned back to where they came from when all is well, when the matter is all taken into account and they're in a position in which they can return home. But these aren't refugees. These are resettled peoples. These are people that are being given permanent residence, that are being given government benefits. They're being given your money and your resources, which should go to and are likely to belong to the people who live in this country who need it first. See, I'm not a big handout guy. I'm not. I'm not interested in finding ways of taking more money from the guys who work for a living and pay their taxes and continually try to figure out how to put food on their table and give it to people who are too lazy, dumb, or stupid so that they don't have to. Don't get into the argument with me about people who are not capable or they're ill and they're unable to or whatnot. I'm not a big fan of letting people starve to death and stepping over the bodies in the streets. It's not the case here. The case here is we're giving away resources that should be given, if they're given at all, domestically. People who are on Social Security, which, by the way, is their money that was paid into a system that was robbed blind by our federal government, shouldn't be made victims and told they're running out of money because we have to give money to refugees or we have to give money to people who never contributed, or we have to use the money to resettle illegal immigrants who have been given amnesty or have been given temporary residence or whatnot. It's not our job to pay for them. It's not our job to pay for their well-being. You want to stop a lot of this shit that's going on? Well, stop enabling them. Don't make it profitable. Don't make it easy. Let them die. And with that, I'll be back right after this.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
This is Don Newen with Cowboy Logic Radio. And if you don't go to bed every night, absolutely fatigued from trying to restore America from the destruction that is taking place, then you're simply not doing enough. Join me late night, Tuesday, early Wednesday, 12:05 a.m. for Cowboy Logic Radio on RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Okay. We left off a moment ago with a little comment about me. If you want to end the problem with these uprisings and these issues and so forth, stop enabling them. And I mean it. The issue should be we need to stop enabling the very people that are causing these problems. And how do you stop enabling them? Well, in one instance, you would stop enabling them by quite literally letting them die. You stop feeding the civilian population. You stop feeding the beast. You stop providing a way for them to turn themselves around and making life easy. You see, what we do when we provide these resources, these food relief packages, these medical relief guides, these situations, we are forcing the very people we wish to stop the fighting and the bloodshed. We are giving them an excuse. You know, there was a ceasefire in Syria that lasted, I think, an amazing 3 days. I'm not really sure if it lasted 3 days. It may have only lasted two. Because somebody decided to bomb a food aid convoy. You want to know the honest truth? I don't really care if they bombed a food aid convoy. Because I don't think we should have been sending food aid, or whoever was sending food aid should have been worried about it. You see, all-out war, total war, includes the civilian population. You think the Germans let in food aid when they had the siege of Stalingrad? Do you think there was food aid let in when Leningrad was on the siege? Do you think food aid was let in when the Ottoman Turks tried to storm the gates of Vienna the first time or the second? When a city is put under siege, when people are put under siege, that is the influence you're looking to get on your leadership. We've forgotten that simple point. It's a simple matter of combat tactics. You starve the people out, either one of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to run out of food, or they're going to start starving to death, or disease is going to take hold, or a combination of all three, and they won't be able to fight you anymore. They'll give in just to survive. These protections that we're extending, these advances we're extending, these are not benefiting the problem as a whole. They are extending it. They are making war a business, and right now, business is good. You know, the concepts aren't new. The ideas aren't new. You know, if you're involved in, if somebody's involved in a war and you want to make money at it, you don't pick a side. You sell to both sides. My father used to have an old joke when he watched a war movie or a, what he likes to call it, shoot 'em up, you know, a cop film or a mob movie or, you know, the good guys, anything where they had guns and bullets and rockets and all that fun shit that goes along with it. And he would look at you and he goes, I just want the bullet concession for the movie. Just give me the bullets. Pay me a penny for each bullet that's fired or a blank round or whatnot. That's the same idea. It's the same concept, the same way of dealing with it. You make the profit off the thing that's most expended. Was it Prince of War, King of War? It was a Nicolas Cage film. It was a Russian immigrant who just in the United States who wound up being an arms dealer. Yeah, he sold helicopters, he sold rockets, he sold tanks, he sold... It didn't matter. You want to know the honest truth? It doesn't matter. Because people are going to find a way to kill themselves, and if you make a few bucks out of it, so what? It's the same idea that goes all the way back to the 1849 gold rush. You wearing blue jeans? You got rivets, zippers, buckles? Yeah. Levi Strauss. He didn't go digging for gold. He sold clothing, supplies. It's the same idea. The more we provide resources to the civilian populations in those areas, the longer these things go on. Are we condemning people to die? No, we're not condemning them to die. We didn't cause the problem in the first place. We didn't cause a problem in Sudan, where North and South Sudan split. We didn't cause the problems in Ethiopia or Somalia. We didn't cause the problems in Syria. We didn't cause the problems in most of the world. But we don't help them either. You see, folks, the main problem we have is that we try to do good. We try to do the right thing by the right people. We try to help the innocent. Well, the innocent sometimes have to perish in order for the rest of us to realize how evil things are in this world. You know, the Nazis managed to exterminate without, by the way, without taking into account the war dead. They managed to exterminate 11 million people in their network of death and slave labor camps. Yes, I'm not just targeting the 6 million Jews that were exterminated because of religious beliefs. I'll talk about the Catholics and the Christians, the POWs, the gypsies, the homosexuals, anybody who didn't fit the bill. Did they all have to die? No. Did they? Yeah. But then some of them were even sacrificed because we couldn't let on that we knew what was going on. And when we finally found out, we couldn't believe ourselves. But the point happens to be, we didn't just rush in there and try and feed people. We didn't try and develop no-fly zones and restrict access. Either we got involved with the damn war or we didn't. And if we're not going to get involved with the war and we're not going to pick sides and we're not going to start shooting back or shooting forward, then let them burn themselves out like you would a forest fire. You cut them off and you deal with the one who survives. You see, our biggest problem is we're considered a busybody. We're a busybody because America wants to help. It wants to lead. It wants to be the person or the group or the identifiable individual that people look up to. Sometimes looking up to people has to be accompanied by the simple fact that we don't get involved where we don't belong. You see, the refugee problem isn't the problem. It's self-created. President Obama decided he was going to speak at the UN, and we're going to wrap this up in a bit today. I listened to most of his speech on the way into my office. And he talked about, he took a pot shot at Russia. He took a pot shot at Israel. And he turned around and said, Israel and the Palestinians, the problem happens to be that the Palestinians have to recognize Israel's right to exist, and Israel has to stop occupying Palestinian territory. It's only one problem. There's no such thing as Palestinian territory. There never has been. It's a UN construct. The Palestinian refugee crisis was created by the UN because the people around her, or the people around the area, refused to take in those who chose to get out of the way during a war, which, by the way, was started by the Arabs. Again. You see, Israel doesn't occupy a territory. Israel's not occupying its own land. The West Bank, Judea and Samaria, are part of Israel, historically, have always been. The Gaza Strip is not occupied in any fashion whatsoever. It might be cut off. But then again, do you have any right to let your neighbors step into your backyard when you don't want them there? Or throw rocks at your kids when you don't want them to? Or shoot across the fence because they decide to put a target up in your backyard? No. We are in a position in this world, and America is in a very interesting position. If America stopped dealing with the BS around the world, the BS would disappear relatively quickly. If we stopped feeding refugees or caring about what happens in war zones that don't involve us. But that goes against everything we stand for. We stand for opportunity. We stand for freedom. We stand for the rights of the individual. We stand for the ability of people to, what we used to stand for, the ability of people to disagree. Now, if you disagree, no, you must be evil. No, you're a Democrat. I can't agree with anything you say. You're a liberal. I can't agree with anything you say. Oh, you're a Republican. You're a conservative. Oh, wait, you're a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. I can't agree with anything you have to say because of X, Y, Z. You fit into one of the wrong boxes. You see, the bombs that went off in New York City were based on hate. The knife slashing that occurred in Minneapolis is based on hate. The ideas and concepts of Wells Fargo, that was based on greed. And when you put greed and hate in the same bucket, well, you get bodies and you get money. And the problem with that is when you have money, people don't really care about the bodies. And therein lies our problem. Folks, the world's complicated, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Warren Markwitz. Thanks for joining me today on the Warren Markwitz Show. Catch me on Tuesdays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. Pacific on Spreaker.com, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Red State Talk Radio, and anywhere else you can get an internet connection. I'll catch you again in the next couple of days. Be good. Bye-bye.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee. Red State Talk Radio is all-American talk radio.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.